now. JimForAmerica.com, the radio show. Paid for by Jim Condit Jr. for Congress.
The big media contrived constant beatdown on white people in the USA has gone on subtly and overtly for years. Enough is enough. It is true that there is really only one race, the human race, but there seems an obsession today on focusing on the races within the human race, black, white, oriental, etc. None of us chose what race we were going to be born into, and every person is a creation of God with an immortal soul which is of infinite value to God. But the beatdown on white people by the big media in recent years is unfair and a distortion of history and reality. The big media, controlled 100% by one sinister faction, is also trying to inflame young blacks to feel that they are justified in hurting and killing whites today because of slavery, which ended 150 years ago. As we will see in this show, far more whites have been enslaved by people of color in the slavery period between 1619 and 1865 than people of color were enslaved by whites. This will be one of the most politically incorrect and shocking programs to ever air in light of the current big media brainwashing that the vast majority of Americans are suffering under. This is Jim Condit Jr., and I approve this message and this hour of information. Even if most people listening find this hour hard to listen to, keep listening to the end of the show where I will talk about the solution by the proper issuing of money that can help all races, all countries, all peoples to rise together in this age of plenty. The different races should form parts of a symphony making beautiful music. And while that can happen, it's not happening today. Our guest tonight is Pete Papaheracles, who is an author and a columnist. He's written a lot of articles over the last decade for the American Free Press. He's the author or co-author of a book called America's Racial Powder Keg. America's Racial Powder Keg, which was written with himself and Victor Thorne, who I guess edited the book, and it came out in the year of 2015, 4 years ago. Pete is probably one of the most informed. Oh, he's definitely one of the most informed people I know across the board, without any question. He also may be one of the very top on this subject, which is the truth about racial relations, slavery, etc. So, Pete, I really appreciate you joining me tonight. How are you doing?
Great, Jim. Nice to be on your show. Thank you for your kind comments.
Oh, absolutely. Now, listen, if we listen to the major media, and I make clear on my other shows that every major media station and newspaper in the United States, I'm talking about all the local and national TV networks such as ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and Fox, all the local stations like Channel 9, 5, 12, and 19 here, which are affiliates, all the major big city newspapers are all controlled by the Jewish network, the organized Jewish network. I always say the organized Jewish network because there's a lot of individual Jews such as Professor Finkelstein and there was Alfred Lilienthal, who wrote Zionist Connection 2, and a lot of Jewish individuals who are opposing the rush towards tyranny. And I always say, I'm a Catholic. I don't want people to say those Catholics and the pedophile thing. I want to say, well, wait, I'm for putting the bishops and priests that did the pedophilia to kids to death. I'm not part of it. I'm a Catholic, but I'm not part of that. And I want to give that recognition to the Jewish people who are fighting for liberty. But the networks are all controlled by this worldwide organized Jewish shadow government. And if you listened in the United States, as you know, Pete, you would get the idea that white people should be ashamed of themselves. They should hang their head in shame at all times, because the only thing that white people ever did in history was enslave blacks and bring them to America, is that's the only important thing. And the minorities, and of course the Jewish faction, are always the victims, persecuted by whites. And one of the things we're here to say is that, hey, whites and white civilization has brought almost all civilization to the world. Whites should be proud. They should tell their kids to be proud. Not overly proud. I mean, none of us chose the race we were going to be born into. But everyone should have a good pride in their way. So I want to say one other thing, Pete, before I ask you to start commenting. I believe that every person, every human being, is a creation of God. We all have an individual soul that is of infinite value in God's eyes, even people that are mentally challenged or, as we used to say, severely retarded. But what we're talking about now is what the media has forced on us. I'm not even going to say most black people have forced on us, because most black people own not one radio or TV station in the United States or major newspaper. It's all owned by the Jewish faction. We demonstrated that last week with Brother Nathaniel Kapner doing 5 or 6 minutes on that we played on the show last week. But what the media has forced on us is we're talking about the white people versus the black people. And do we need reparations? That's the way they've been talking. So we're going to talk that way here, even though I think it's kind of a stupid way to talk. Because even the white people have brought almost every major invention that the world knows into being. I've never invented anything, and you'd be in bad shape if you were depending on me to invent things or keep all the physical things in society running. So it's kind of dumb to overgeneralize, but that's what the media has forced on us. So we're going to talk that way. Barack Obama said when he got into office or when he was running, he said, let's have a conversation about race. And Pat Buchanan said, let's make it a two-way conversation this time. And that's what we're going to do on this show. You're now going to hear what you would never hear on these Jewish-controlled networks, the truth about all of this. And so, Pete, why don't you start off? And also, at the end of the show, I'm going to do just a few minutes on where we go from here. What's done is done, but by knocking these diabolical, and I mean that literally, Jewish bankers who are behind the Fed and IMF and all the money-issuing organizations, that affect the United States. When we knock them out and get a fair, honest money system, then every race, every people, every country can rise, because we got so much technology, so many computers, so many goods and services. We live in an age of plenty that mankind has dreamed about all 6,000 years of recorded history. Yet the darn bankers are restricting the cash that's available, so that most people are living their whole life in debt, you know. So anyway, Pete, on slavery, which is the main thing that the Jewish media constantly puts before, and I think most white people are uncomfortable, but they don't know how to answer. I know white people in general are fed up with the beatdown that's been going on in white people, especially in the last few years. But hasn't slavery been the rule throughout the 6,000 years of recorded history?
Yes, of course. Slavery has existed since recorded time. And every race was involved in slavery. It's not something that's unique to white people owning black slaves, but that has been highlighted, as you pointed out, in order to instill a white guilt, and by repetition, I suppose, we have all kind of bought into it, especially the black people, who have been urged to be angry about it and demand that we keep giving them more stuff to make up for it.
So, for instance, slavery existed in Africa long before it existed in the United States of America. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the black slaves that were brought over with the transatlantic slave trade were already slaves to their black African slave masters. They weren't free. Only to be enslaved by white slave traders, as we have been told. They were already slaves. And many of them are still slaves today. Slavery still exists in Africa in many countries today. So it's
Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, et cetera, they never mention or care about the slavery in Africa, which still exists today. I think it's a country called Mauritania, where you can get a female slave for $500 and a male slave for $800 right to this minute. But you never hear the Jews in the media running our media. You never hear Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson express any concern for the slaves that exist right now in Africa, because the whole agenda of the Jewish worldwide Jewish shadow government is to beat down white people, to make us into such a minority everywhere that we have no power whatsoever, and it basically and ourselves are kind of controlled to the point where it's almost a kind of slavery. So they don't care about what's happening to blacks, just like they never mentioned the blacks killed over the weekend in Chicago. Each weekend there'll be, you know, some large number of blacks killed, 15 to 50 or whatever. They never mention that. But if you find a white cop defends himself when a young black man is violently resisting arrest, then it's an international story for 2 days, and they are lionizing the young black man who is the criminal, who was violently resisting arrest, and they demonize the policeman. If the policemen wonder why they're being shot, it is because the Jewish media is demonizing the policeman. But getting back to the, you and Victor point out in your book here, America's Racial Powder Keg, you point out that Roots, the movie, had a lie in it. They had white men running through Africa capturing black slaves. And in the book, it says nothing could be further than the truth. The black stronger tribes enslaved the weaker tribes, and they came to the border and handed them over to the white men in the ships in return for rum or one of the white inventions that the blacks had not invented. Would you comment on that?
Yeah, that's my understanding from the transatlantic slave trade.
Okay, we'll be back after the break. This is Jim Conda Jr. You're listening to the show Jim Conda Jr. for Congress. Go to jimforamerica.com, and we'll be back after the break. Okay, we're back. You're listening to Jim Conda Jr. for Congress in the 2nd District of Ohio. I'm Jim Conda Jr. So let's pick up now where we left off.
And to add to that, of course, the vast majority of the slave ships were Jewish owned, and the slave trade in general was run by Jews, who also controlled much of the, if not all, the alcohol production, as they still do today. So the slave triangle worked in this way. They had most of the blacks initially were brought into the Caribbean and Central America, where they had sugar plantations. And so they would come from Africa with a boat full of black slaves, dump them off in Jamaica, let's say, in order to, you know, pick sugar cane and make molasses out of it. So they would unload the black slaves, and then they would load the ship up with molasses, and then they'd head up to Newport, Rhode Island, where all the distilleries were, and the slave trade, and they would dump off the molasses, and they would fill the boat up with rum. And they would take the rum, and they would head back to Africa, and they would have the blacks in Africa unload the rum and load it up with black slaves. And the ship, of course, would come back to Jamaica, dump off the blacks, head back up to Rhode Island, and so on and so forth. So that was the slave triangle.
Go ahead.
No. That's it.
Okay, I wanted to pause on something you said, because some people may be saying, what? These guys are blaming the Jewish network back then for funding and the ships and the slave trade and all, and being basically orchestrating the slave trade coming to the United States of America. Well, Louis Farrakhan and his group has a book out called The Secret Relations Between Blacks and Jews, where this is all exposed. Do I get the title right?
Yeah. That's right.
Now, some people are going to say, whoa, Louis Farrakhan, you can't quote him. You know, Farrakhan and someone like David Duke make a lot more sense than 98% of our politicians when they're talking about most things, okay? But because the media has decided to demonize David Duke, who was a state rep from Louisiana, and Farrakhan, then, well, they'll let all kinds of ex-communists who have never apologized for the 100 million people that communism has killed. No, you're not even allowed to quote Farrakhan and David Duke on anything. Well, I'm sorry, we don't follow the rules of the Jewish media on this show. And this show is only on because of I'm running as a federal candidate for Congress. And it's ironclad law and court decision that candidates have the right to put on anything they want. If I was not a candidate, iHeart, which is run by this international Jewish shadow government, would definitely censor this program. We would not be on. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, they would lose their show within a few days or weeks if they started to talk the way you and I are talking on this show. But so Louis Farrakhan had the book. But if you don't want to talk about Farrakhan, if you want to exclude him out from public conversation, there's a black professor, he's passed away now, named Tony Martin. And you're familiar with him. And
absolutely. I was just going to mention Tony Martin. He's the quintessential scholar on the issue. Has written several books on it and given hundreds of lectures on the subject.
And I think he's still on YouTube, or if not, he'll be on BitChute.com, which is the alternative to YouTube. Because, quite frankly, the Jews running YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, they're strangling those outlets for information. That I've heard they got 3,500, and another time I heard Facebook has 35,000 people going around trying to censor things that are critical of the Jewish lobby, the Jewish network, or their programs. So this is what happens in every country, and Americans are now watching it in real time. As the Jewish leadership gets stronger, they start to strangle the country. And all throughout history, they've gotten all the Jews kicked out of countries over more than 100 times in the last 1,000 years. Two of the most famous were 1292, when King Edward Longshanks kicked all the Jews out of England in 1292 because all the usury and other stuff that was going on. They just said, here's your hat and coat, what's your hurry, and had them get on ships and leave. And then that period from 1292 to when Cromwell, to when the Rothschilds and the Jews sent Cromwell back in to England about 250 years later, that's the period that was called Merry Old England. Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand kicked all the Jews out of Spain, thanks to the action of these top Jews, then in 1292. And there's 100 other times in the last 1,000 years that they've been kicked out of one place or another. So they're doing, right now they're doing the same thing in America. And that's why I say we, who are pointing this truth out, are the best friend to the everyday Jewish people. Because if this continues the way it is, they're not going to be dealing with nice guys like you and me. They're going to be dealing with the good old boys who shoot first and ask questions later when people start to go hungry. I don't want indiscriminate persecution. I want to arrest these top Jewish criminals now, much as we arrested the top Italian mafia, Sicilian, and I'm one-fourth Sicilian, but I am all for the arresting of any mafia leaders who were leading the mafia. And I look at them as giving the Sicilian people a bad name, and I wish more of the Jewish people would look at these criminals the same way. But in any case, so Tony Martin was a professor, and he wrote a book called The Jewish Onslaught, Dispatches from the Wellesley Battlefront, which is where he taught. And he got caught up in a controversy. And I think, as I say, you can hear him on YouTube or BitChute or LBRY.TV or Brighteon.com. Those are the alternatives that are coming out from YouTube. So you had mentioned a pamphlet. Well, we'll get to that on the inventions in a minute. So let's talk about the numbers. You talked about the there was a guy that was a Barack Obama friend named you all got him in your book on page 21, I believe. Let me make sure of that here. It's 19. Henry Louis Gates, who said, he said that 12.5 million Africans were shipped to the New World, but 10.7 million that survived went to the Caribbean and South America. Only 388,000, I mean, it's a lot, but 388,000 came to the United States. And
right, and that's over like a 170-year period.
Yeah. So, and you, like, you were born in Greece. You were a citizen, maybe still are, of Greece, and you became a United States. You're the first person in your family of Greek background to be a United States citizen, right?
I don't know if I'm the first person, maybe the first generation. Either my parents didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that you know of your grandparents and parents didn't. And you came here, what, you're about 1960 or so? Or
69.
Okay, 69. Okay. Mm-hmm. My grandparents from Ireland and Italy both came here about 1900. So if you're going to talk reparations, we're out of it. We can't possibly owe anybody reparations. We weren't even here when slavery was, an institution.
Yeah, but even the people that were here, Jim, only 2% of Americans back in the slave days ever owned the slaves.
Right, right. That's I'm glad you brought that up. Now, again, let me make clear for people. And by the way, you're listening to Jim Conda Jr. interviewing Pete Papa Heracles on the white guilt question, whether whites should be hanging their head in shame as they go around. And we're saying no, they should be very proud of what white civilization has brought to the world. Just sponsored by Jim Conda Jr. for Congress. I repeat that occasionally, Pete, because if I look, tune into a radio show, and nobody ever identifies who's talking, it's kind of frustrating, you know. But I'm glad you brought that up. And Michael Hoffman, who I think I'm going to have a guest on in one of the last seven shows that we have until Election Day, he's published a book called They Were White and They Were Slaves. And let's talk for a minute while we're talking numbers. While 388,000 black slaves were brought to America. And of course, I'm totally against forcibly putting anybody in slavery or anybody in slavery at all in modern day times. And if those slaves came to America and the people sold the daughter here and the mother and dad there, I would be for the death penalty for people that broke up families like that. But let's talk numbers. You said 2% of the Americans owned African slaves. Mm-hmm. 388,000 were brought over in the last 150 years before slavery was ended through the emancipation.
No, before. No, 60 years before the Emancipation Proclamation. The slave trade, per se, was ended around 1800, 1804, somewhere in there.
And that, I think when we were talking last night, preparing for the show a little, you said that that's because Great Britain declared the end of slavery, and they controlled the seas at that point, so they enforced it.
That's correct. And most people probably don't know that, but the abolition movement essentially came from, started in Great Britain, mm-hmm. and moved west. So it was really the altruistic Christian white spirit that started the process of ending slavery,
and did end it in the Western world. In fact, now that you mention that, I saw a YouTube 2-hour presentation by Stephen Molyneux. People that are familiar with the internet will be familiar with him. And at the end of it, he said, "If you want to thank somebody for the end of slavery in the Western world, you're going to have to thank a white guy that can't dance." Because it was Great Britain, the whites in Great Britain and the whites in America that actually blew the whistle and said, we're going to have the, the end of slavery. By the way, and we don't have time in here to get into the nuances and the mythology versus what really happened in the Civil War, but 250,000 white men died from the North, basically, that ended up in the freeing of the slaves. So if we're going to talk reparations, don't the slaves that are free owe the families of those white young men that died in the Civil War? Aren't those families owed reparations for freeing the slaves?
That's how I see it.
Yeah, and of course, I'm not... Reparations is a stupid idea in any direction, but we're refuting what the Jewish media is beating us down with, and that is white versus black, all whites versus all black, and all this type of stuff. Now, talk about the number of white slaves that were slaves in that same period. Okay, we'll be back after the break. This is Jim Conda Jr. You're listening to the show Jim Conda Jr. for Congress. Go to jimforamerica.com, and we'll be back after the break.
You're listening to JimForAmerica.com, the radio show in progress.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to Jim Conda Jr. for Congress in the 2nd District of Ohio. I'm Jim Conda Jr. So let's pick up now where we left off. Americans have probably all heard from the song, "From the Shores of Montezuma," or "From the Halls of Montezuma to the Shores of Tripoli," but I don't know how many Americans, especially young Americans, know what that means anymore. Could you comment? And this is really, you were telling me about this last night. This is really astounding information. White slaves versus black slaves in that period.
Yeah, well, that's the verse from the Marine Corps anthem. Yep. And the Marine Corps was started back at the time of Thomas Jefferson, I guess in the early 1800s, 1805 or so.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure exactly what the Halls of Montezuma was all about, but the Shores of Tripoli was about the Barbary pirates that Thomas Jefferson sent ships to essentially take down. And the Barbary pirates were essentially pirates, I guess Moors and Arabs, dark race peoples that were from, what's today like Libya and Tunisia and Algeria and maybe Morocco, that northern, western North Africa. And from the same time that the black slavery took place in North America, namely from, 1618 to 1800, these pirates, although we only had, like you pointed out, 388,000 blacks enslaved into North America, these Barbary pirates enslaved 1.2 million white slaves from Europe. They would take their ships up and down the Mediterranean, even up the Atlantic coast, as far as up as Ireland and the south coast of England, even, and France, Portugal, Spain, and they would raid villages that were by the by the coasts, and take the fill their ships with slaves, and they would take them down and sell them to the Arab sheikhs and other princes or what have you, and the women often ended up in the harems and or concubines, and men ended up in some form of slavery, whether they were mine slaves or galley slaves or other kind of slaves that were just worked to death. I mean, they weren't just picking a little bit of cotton, you know, they were worked to death.
Yeah.
And their lifespan was, I don't know, maybe a few short years, and then they would have to get new ones to replace them because, you know, they just had them worked to exhaustion.
Yeah. So let's make clear, we condemn slavery. Dragging people forcibly from Africa here is always wrong, forcing people into slavery. And we don't mean to minimize the sufferings of any slaves in America or anywhere else that may have taken, that have taken place. But
sure.
The point that we're not doing that, but we're answering the Jewish media in their argument that all whites are just slave owners waiting to happen, and all the people of color are victims. Here you're pointing out that in that same period that we hear nothing about but about the slavery in America, four times or three times as many whites were enslaved by the Muslim Moors, which were a dark-skinned people of color. So it's and the Africans had slavery all up and down the continent, where the stronger tribes enslaved the not as so strong tribes, and when there's still slavery in Africa today. So the point is that the whites are not all slave owners waiting to happen, and the blacks are not all victims. There were many blacks who owned black slaves in the United States of America during the very period we're talking with, right?
They say that the very first documented slave owner was a black man, believe
it
or not.
In the United States, yes. Well, you know, he may have known what was going on in Africa and felt it was okay, but there's a lot of blacks were involved in slave owning right up to the end of slavery in America, even in Massachusetts and so forth. And that's news to me when I started to study this subject. Okay, we've covered that. And now let's talk about reparations, okay? If you're talking reparations, you're talking economics. I got bad news for those who are promoting reparations to blacks, because if we talk economics, almost every major invention in history is invented by a white man from Europe or Europe descended. Therefore, the whites have let the blacks and the other races use all of our inventions. I'm talking light bulb, video, audio, cell phones, Tesla technology, computers, cars, airplanes, modern type of ships, running water, electricity. So as the other races, if you're going to talk white versus black versus other races, they're using, the non-whites are using the white inventions every day. So they at this point would owe us trillions of dollars for benefiting from white inventions, and it's getting worse every day.
Yes, that's true.
Let's talk about some of the other things. How about Christianity was basically pervaded by white Europeans? Rule of law. Again, Stefan Molyneux did a good piece on the rule of law, that was a European white thing, that when you... In Britain, in Europe, in the United States, when you make a contract for a building or for a invention or something, that you can still count on that contract being enforced 15 years later and 30 years later. That's not the case in Africa and South America and in most of Asia. There's no rule of law. It's like might makes right.
Yeah.
Written language. I don't know whether, I guess the Chinese came up with their own written language, but certainly Europe did, the white Europeans. In Africa, though, was there written languages when the whites got to Africa?
I've never heard of any. As far as I'm concerned, the blacks, when the whites went there bring slaves here, were accused of, you know, destroying their culture and you know, bringing them into the Dark Ages and all that. But as far as I understand, the blacks, for thousands of years, lived in essentially a Stone Age conditions. They never invented the wheel. They never built anything more than a one-story mud hut with a thatched roof. So I don't think it was the whites that were keeping the blacks down. If you go to Africa now, as a result of this colonialism that everybody condemns as being so evil, they have their civilized cities. I mean, they have skyscrapers, you know, they have electricity, roads, hospitals, cars, everything that comes with modern technology. The blacks didn't invent those things, the whites did.
Well, you know, this is shocking. I'm sure most people either turn the radio off now if they're have suffered the brainwashing of the Jewish media all these years, or their jaw is hitting the ground that we're defending white people in this way, which is as everybody's made mistakes, but as civilizations go, the white civilization is the glorious civilization that has brought the inventions, the rule of law, Christianity, etc., to the world. Now let's go on here. Without the white race, there would be no there would be no college courses. White people invented having biology courses, science courses, mathematics courses. The Greeks, your people, began mathematics.
Not just mathematics. I mean, I don't want to brag about my people, but I mean, most courses that you have today, you know, and that's why most of these are Greek words.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, the Roman continued with the Roman Empire and then continued with, you know, the European, the Renaissance and what have you. It was all the subjects, you know, history, biology, mathematics, geometry, music, astronomy, philosophy, medicine, on and on and on.
Don't worry about bragging about your people, the Greeks, because I'm for them. You're sure you're for every culture taking pride in what's good about their culture. We're not for stamping out other cultures. We're just saying the beatdown on white Europeans and descendants of white Europeans by the Jewish-controlled media in the United States is out of hand and has got to be answered. And I know many white people are seething under the surface at how we're being talked about, what the white kids are hearing all throughout public school and through the media. And we're giving people the rationale on how to answer back and answer back truthfully based on solid history, right? And I said in the last show that the Jews running the media are like evil magicians. They fool you, they deceive you, they lie, they bring about all kind of wars and murder. They're for abortion up to the ninth month, the Jewish media is, all over the country. And we're like the good magicians. We're telling the people how the evil magicians do their tricks, and we're giving them a rationale to defend themselves. Going on with inventions, though, from white Europeans, music, classical music, the piano, pipe organ, guitar, horns, violins, classical music, the hammer, the wrench. You were mentioning some of these last night. The hammer, the wrench, the screwdriver, the wheel. There's a book by Keith Richburg, who was a black correspondent for the Washington Post in Africa, and he wrote a book which you can see on Amazon or a lot of places, Out of America, A Black Man Confronts Africa. And in that book, he says, I'm not for slavery, but I'm sure glad my grandmother and grandfather ended up in America, because he noticed that Africa was a really horrible place compared to the United States of America. That's a black man writing, Out of America, A Black Man Confronts Africa. Michael Jackson went to Africa, I think, once and couldn't get out of there fast enough and denounced the living conditions. Same with Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. I heard once a felon, he was on a New York talk show station, and they thought they were going to make mincemeat out of him. And they said to him, are you a white supremacist? And he said, no. But I'll tell you who is the foremost white supremacist in the world. He said, the black people and people of color who are trying to get into the white societies.
Mm-hmm.
And that talk show host was stunned, didn't know what to say, because whites are not in mass trying to get into black or Chinese or Japanese societies, but blacks and Hispanics are trying to get into the white societies. And of course, the Jews promote that 100% because they want to see the whites be a minority everywhere. And they're far towards achieving that goal in Europe and the United States of America. So really, the people who want to get in the white societies, they're the foremost white supremacists.
That's right. So if it was so bad here, then how come they wouldn't just leave and go back to the, you know, the land of some utopian wonderland that they came from, right? Obviously, that wasn't the case.
Yeah, and it's just like right now, you hear all these Biden and all these evil Democrats, institutional racism, institutional. Well, if I was in a country that was institutionally racist against whites, I would go to a white country, for heaven's sakes. But obviously, the average black person in America knows that they've got a much better deal in America.
Okay,
We'll be back after the break. This is Jim Conda Jr. You're listening to the show Jim Conda Jr. for Congress. Go to jimforamerica.com, and we'll be back after the break. Okay, we're back. You're listening to Jim Conda Jr. for Congress in the 2nd District of Ohio. I'm Jim Conda Jr. So let's pick up now where we left off.
Who is this fellow you mentioned to me, Ricardo Duchesne? He's got an article on inventions or something?
Right. He's a Canadian guy, and he's a professor in Toronto University or somewhere. And you know, he's put out several articles praising whites for their achievements and trying to, you know, debunk this white guilt. But he has a very, you know, he had a very detailed list.
All major sports were invented by white men: basketball, baseball, football. Now, no question that black men excel in basketball and in many ways in football. In fact, when I see some of these NBA teams with, you know, 11 black men and 2 white men, I often wonder if the 2 white men are the token white men, and really there were other blacks that were better. So, you know, certainly there's no question about that.
But they only excel in selected sports. They don't excel in all sports, right?
Right, not in swimming or so forth. Now, let's talk about, this is really going to hack people off, but let's talk about Martin Luther King's great speech. And it was a great speech, and I think he was heartfelt. He wanted rights for his people and so forth. But had there not been white inventions, let's talk about what that speech would have been. It would have been to a few hundred people, because there would have been no microphone invented by white men for Martin Luther King to amplify his voice. Mm-hmm. There would have been no television. There would have no video invented by Thomas Edison, a white man, to memorialize the speech on film.
That's right. So nobody could have seen it or heard it again. Maybe somebody could have transcribed it, but
yeah,
there wouldn't have been a Lincoln Memorial built by great white architects. There wouldn't have been a reflecting pool. There wouldn't have been vehicles, buses, and cars and airplanes to bring hundreds of thousands of people to listen to him. It would have been just the people that were within walking distance.
Yeah, because there was no mass media. There would have been no mass media, which was all white invented, to alert the people across the country to come.
And no mass transportation to bring them there.
No cars, right? All invented by white people. So now let's go, and we're coming to our closing minutes. Let's go to the... you had pointed out to me last night the population explosion in Africa. Talk about that for a minute.
Oh, right. Well, if you went go back like 100 years, in the 19 early 1900s, the population of Africa was only about 170 million. In all of Africa,
in 1900. Okay, go ahead.
The black population, which is, you know, sub-Saharan Africa mostly. Yeah. Today the population is like 1.3 billion. So the numbers, you know, have gone up almost tenfold, whereas the white population has only increased like, I don't know, two or threefold. So they have disproportionately.
What's the reason for the increase in African population since 1900 then?
Well, you know, as much as, people don't like to hear it, the white bashers, it's colonialism. Because they took a place that had no infrastructure and they built roads, electricity, sanitation, hospitals, universities, what have you.
Didn't Western medicine, antibiotics medicine, and so forth, allowed a lot of the babies that were dying in Africa to live? And so,
sure. And so many diseases. I mean, who knows what a big percentage of blacks died from, infant mortality and malaria and, all types of other diseases that were cured, you know, either with sanitation or with modern medicine.
Now let's talk about, we're coming to the close here, the abuse of one race to the other. There was a lot of abuse of black slaves. Not every, many of them, they lived happily with the slave owners, but many did not. And there were relations were forced on the black women and so on and so forth. But I want to raise the question, did the white slave owners inflict more damage on the black slaves with regard to killings, rapes, violent acts than young black men primarily have inflicted on whites in the last 50 years? In other words, raping is a white women, violent attacks on whites, killings of whites. I want to raise the question. I don't know what the answer is, but I would think that since 1970, the killings of black on against white, rapes of black young men on white women, violent acts of all kinds might have exceeded black on white crime and killings and rapes might have exceeded what happened in the years when slavery was an institution in the United States. What do you think?
Well, look, I think there's once again, there's a lot of misconceptions about how things were during slavery, and many of those are from glamorized or fantastical Hollywood scripts, like the series, the miniseries Roots that we saw, and even Uncle Tom's Cabin, you know, a long time ago. But much of that is just a myth, because, first of all, it was not to the benefit of white people to, like, beat up and kill their slaves, because they give you work. So why would the whites just beat up and kill all the blacks, like some people like to think? As far as crime, well, you know, there's the Ku Klux Klan, for instance, the epitome of white evil. In 100 years, from 1865 to 1965, in 100 years, responsible for killing as many as 4,000 people. 4,300, I believe, in 100 years, right? And one-third of those were actually white. Okay, so they killed or lynched, you know, let's say 3,000 blacks. Well, every year today, blacks kill about 7,000 or 8,000 of their own fellow blacks in shootings in 1 year. So in 1 year, they killed twice as many of their own than the Ku Klux Klan lynched in 100 years. I mean, put that into perspective, right?
And what about the Colin Flaherty has written a book called White Girl Bleed a Lot. And he wrote another book called Don't Make the Black Kids Angry, where he's talking about all this black on white crime. And what about the rape situation of blacks raping white women?
They've even stopped publishing those figures because they were just so embarrassing to the blacks, I guess, or to their narrative of white guilt that they want to promote. And I think the last year that it was published was like 2008. It's still around if you know how to find it, but they don't openly publish it like they used to. And that particular year, blacks had raped 36,000 plus white women in the United States in 1 year, 36,000. During that same year, whites had raped less than 10.
I know
black
that
women.
I remember
less than 10.
So less than 10 could be 0 or 1 or 2 or 3 up to 9.
Right, but less than 10 versus 36 plus 1,000.
So, well, listen, Pete, this has been, I thank you for bringing this. And again, we're refuting the Jewish media narrative, the media Jews, not the everyday Jews, but the media Jews. I don't know how many everyday Jews support it or what they're doing or not, but the media Jews have had a beat down on white people for the last who knows how many years in white European civilization. And we're here to say white people, without being overly proud, because none of us were chose the race we were, be proud of your race, your people, your history. Tell your children to be proud of it. Most of what we know as civilization has come from white European men or Americans descended, or Australians or New Zealanders descended from white European men. And we should hold our heads high, not, you know, be slinking around ashamed of ourselves, because that is a false picture of history in the overall.
Amen.
Okay, well, Pete, thank you so much for being part of this, because really, even a lot of the stuff I said, I learned from your book or learned from you. So
thank you.
I'm basically a reporter. I don't do a lot of primary research. You know, you run into some along the way when you're reading other people's research. You come up with some yourselves by looking a little further. But I'm basically a reporter, and even what I said in this program, I was largely taking from books like yours and stuff you had told me as we were talking in the last 6 or 7 months. So again, Pete, thank you for coming on, and we'll be back in a second to wrap up the show. Okay.
Okay, Jim. Thank you.
That was Pete Papaheracles, columnist and co-author of the book America's Racial Powder Keg, who did the show with me. While I think it's stupid to talk about one race against another as if there are no individuals, that's what the media Jews have been doing for years through the big media, which they, for now, control. We did this show to answer the unjust beatdown on whites and white civilization that has provided mankind with 95% plus of all major inventions and has brought the world the rule of law and really modern civilization from which all the peoples and races of the world now benefit. Blacks, whites, Hispanics, Orientals, and all people of goodwill should band together against the international Rothschild Soros-type banksters, throw them out of control of the Fed, and put honest Americans like the late Herman Cain and the late great Congressman Jim Traficant in charge of issuing our money. Right now, there is too little cash in the pockets of everyday people. We are so rich thanks to computers, machines, technology, and now robots. These technologies are doing the work that humans used to do. In order to get enough money into circulation to equal the goods and services available, we need to issue about a $1,600 dividend to every adult 25 and older every month. This money, about $7 trillion, is now being skimmed off the top of our economy by the evil international banksters to build a prison planet for us and our children. Learn about the dividend, the scientific issue of money, on the right-hand column at the homepage at jimforamerica.com. Look for The Dividend in This Age of Plenty. The Dividend in This Age of Plenty can solve many problems, including racial problems. We are in an age of plenty that mankind has dreamed about for the 6,000 years of recorded history, where now every race, every country, every people can rise together in prosperity by the scientific issue of money. This is Jim Conda Jr., running to win for U.S. Congress in Ohio's 2nd District. We'll be back next Sunday night at 10 p.m. on 55 KRC for another blockbuster one-hour show with information you cannot hear anywhere else on AM or FM radio or TV. Be sure to go to jimforamerica.com. Thanks for listening.